Blog Talk Radio.
To Reconnect My Heart radio program, the show where we talk about life's problems that break or tear our hearts apart. On Reconnect My Heart, we would discuss God's answers to life's problems, to reconnect our heart back to the way that He originally made us. I am your host, Brother Prater. So glad that you all are able to join us, and I hope that you enjoyed your Sunday. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to call us at 516-453-9118. Excuse me, that's 516-453-9118. You can listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/reconnectmyheart. Or you can also go to our chat room that is on our website. You can ask questions, comments, or leave your prayer request. I would like to say a huge hello to my church family, True Believers Tabernacle Church, where our senior pastor and Pastor Otis Logan. You're welcome to visit us. We're at 4204 Cardinal Drive, Dallas, Texas, 75216. Feel free to come out and join us. Once again, I want to tell everyone thank you, thank you, thank you for your continued love and support of this particular program. Today, I want you to think about this. There are things that happen in our life that can actually be a big blow to our heart. The pain hurts so badly that you're left numb and at a loss for words. Have anyone experienced that? Well, today we're going to talk about grief in this episode entitled "It Hurts So Bad." Excuse me. Everyone at some point in their life experienced some type of grief, loss, or hurt. Regardless of your age, race, or culture, or even sex, everyone experienced some type of grief. And just because you experience some type of grief, that doesn't mean that you ain't saved. That doesn't mean that you're a weak Christian. It has nothing to do with your salvation. But in the process of us talking about grief, I do want to put this disclaimer out there. First and foremost, I am not a licensed physician, and this is not to omit anyone or to discourage anyone from not seeing a Christian licensed physician. I would encourage, through this particular episode, if we discuss anything that's on this air that you feel that you may need to get some help with, I would encourage you, all means, please seek the help that you need. And if you need any help to try to find someone, I have no problem in trying to find one that's in your area. I would also let you know, for those who want to catch me offline, for those who want to catch me outside of the episode hours, you can feel free to catch me on Facebook or on Google Plus under Brother Prater, which I will give some more information about myself after the program. But I do want to encourage each and every person, if you feel that you need professional help, I would encourage you, by all means, seek it. There are Christian counselors that are out there, licensed Christian counselors that are out there that will be able to help you walk the steps through God's word. So today we're going to talk about grief. And like I said, everyone has or will go through some sort of pain or loss in their life. So what we have to do, we have to be able to understand, what is grief? Grief is a painful emotion of sorrow caused by the loss or impending loss of anyone or anything that has deep meaning to you. That grief could be the death of a loved one. Excuse me. The death of a loved one, spouse, child, any individual. Also, it could even be the loss of a pet. That's death. But also, it could even be pertaining to the ending of a relationship, the ending of a marriage, breakup, divorce, separation. It can also be a loss of a job, occupation, being out of your security, being out of your comfort zone. A lot of time people have been on their job for many years, felt secure, had a secure job, they thought. And then one day, after being on a company, being at a company for 30 some odd years, one day find out that they will be laid off. Also, grief could happen even in the process of a failed health. Finding out that there's some type of sickness or illness that you may have. Not just you, but also those that you love. So we want to look at this could be in a wide range of areas that we experience grief. One of the side effects of grief, when your heart breaks over a great loss, intense grief will touch every area of your life, your body, soul, and spirit. The effects of this grief will vary in range and degrees from mild to severe, depending upon where you are in your grieving process. While you may not experience all the effects, everyone will experience some of them. Realize that these effects are common to everyone who grieves and are temporary. As long as you face the pain of your loss and work through the grief process. Even in Psalms, David recounted both the bitterness of his grief and the assurance of God's presence. You can look at Psalm 73, 21 through 24. Let's look at the physical effects of some grief. Exhaustion, headaches, the inability to sleep, indigestion, loss of appetite, stress-induced illnesses. Let's look at the social effects of grief. You become or have a antisocial behavior. Awkwardness, escape behavior. That means something like excessive drinking, drugs, traveling, gambling, even sex. Excessive busyness. Deliberately finding yourself busy, 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 avoiding dealing with the grief. Tensions in the existing relationships that you have. Also, withdrawn. Let's look at the emotional or the mental effects of grief. Depression and anxiety. Dreams about the deceased. Forgetfulness and disorientation, guilt and anger, loneliness and withdrawn, threats of self-destruction or self-suicide. But also, let's look at the spiritual effects of grief. Anger at God, doubting the love, fairness, and faithfulness of God. Fear of God and dread about the future. The inability to pray or to read your Bible. Withdrawn from spiritual activities. Questions about why God allowed this loss. Those are some of the things pertaining to the grief. Now, I want to speak about a couple of the stages of grief. Now, this is the thing. There is no set order, but we just want to bring awareness to those who are listening about grief. They say typically there are five stages of grief, and I'm gonna name two extra, but like I said, when we experience grief, there is no set order, there is no set order or time frame on the order of the grief or the stages of the grief. And like I said, also there is no quote unquote, there is no time frame. Number one, the shock and denial. You will probably reenact or react to learn or learning of the loss with numbness and disbelief. You may deny the reality of the loss at some level in order to avoid the pain. The shock provides emotional protection from being overwhelmed all at once, and this may take a few weeks. There is the pain and guilt. As the shock wears off, it is replaced with the suffering of the unbelievable pain. Although the excruciating and almost unbearable pain, it is important that you experience the pain fully and not hide it or avoid it or use some type of unhealthy products such as drugs and alcohol to try to suppress it. You may feel guilty feeling, or you may have that guilty feeling of remorse over things you did or didn't do with that loved one, if this pertained to the death of a loved one. Also, there may be the anger or the bargaining. The frustration gives you a way to become angry, and you may lash out and lay unwanted blame of the death of someone else. Please try to control this, as the permanent damage to your relationship may result. And a lot of times, even with the anger and the bargaining, sometimes we make unrealistic bargains with ourselves or blaming ourselves, thinking, well, maybe if I had have done this, this person wouldn't have died. Or maybe if I had have done that. Another thing is depression. Just when your friends may think you should be getting over it or getting on with your life, a long period of sadness result, a sad reflection will likely overwhelm you. This is a normal stage of grief. So do not try to talk it out or talk about it by well-meaning outsiders. Encouragement from others is not helpful to you during the stage of grieving. But also, during this time, you'll finally realize the true magnitude of your loss, and it will depress you. You may isolate yourself on purpose, reflect on things that you did with the lost loved one, or reflect on the memories of the past. You may sense a feeling of emptiness and despair. As you start to adjust your life without your loved one, your life becomes a little calmer during a process called the upward turn. It may become a little calmer and more organized. Your physical symptoms lessen and your depression begins to lift a little. The reconstruction and working through stage as you begin to become more functional, your mind starts working again, and you will find yourself seeking a realistic solution to problems posed by life without your loved one. You will start to work on practical and financial problems and reconstructing yourself and your life without him or her. But also the last step or stage is the acceptance, the hope. Doing this, you will learn to accept and deal with the reality of the situation. Acceptance does not necessarily mean instant happiness. Given the pain and turmoil you had experienced, you can never return to the carefree, untroubled you that existed before this tragedy, but you will find a way to move forward. You will start to look forward and actually plan things for the future. Eventually, you will be able to think about your lost loved one without the pain, sadness, yes, but the wrenching pain will be gone. You will once again anticipate good things to come, and yes, even find joy again in the experience of life. Right now, I want to also call for those who may have just tuned in. We're talking about grief. And for those who want to be online, you're welcome to give this line a call at 516-453-9118. I'm going to take a pause right here. Right now, sound like I have a caller, and I'm going to give the caller an opportunity if they would like to be on the air. Or if you don't want to be on the air, you just feel free to say that you just would rather just listen. And you're welcome to say your name, or if you don't want to, you don't have to. But I like to have the platform open for whoever would like. They're welcome to always feel free that this is our podcast. Right now, I'm going to go to the line. Hello, welcome to Reconnect My Heart. Hello? Okay. Once again, we're talking about grief. And I do want to say this. Like I said, grief can... A loss can happen in any point in our life, and it can be in any aspect of our life. Like I said, it could be the death of a loved one, the death of a pet, the loss of a job, the loss of a relationship. And like I said, each person goes through things differently. And once again, just because you're grieving, first of all, you have to know that it's okay to grieve. It is okay. It is healthy for us to grieve. A lot of times, even as men, a lot of times it is portrayed that men don't cry. Men are not supposed to cry. Men are not supposed to show emotions. But hurt hurts, regardless if you are a male or female, regardless if you are an adult or a child. It is okay to grieve. It is okay to say that I'm hurting. And not only say that I'm hurting, but also to say ouch. And how do we say ouch? Our interpretation of ouch, or releasing the signal to let people know that we are hurting by saying ouch, that is our grieving, period. That is our grief. And like I said, it doesn't matter how long you've been saved. It doesn't matter if you are a new convert or a bishop, an evangelist, whatsoever title that you may have. Grief can happen to anyone, and it's okay to grieve. A loss or any type of life change can cause us to grieve. And not only you have to let people know that you have permission to grieve, but also you have to give yourself permission to grieve. So a lot of times people are so consumed with what a person may think that they don't allow themselves to grieve, regardless if it's grieving out in the public or grieve privately. It's okay to grieve, and you have to give yourself permission to grieve. I even think about in 2 Samuel, the first chapter, David himself grieved over King Saul. It's okay to grieve, but understand it is a human, and but not just humans, but it is a natural thing for us to grieve. You think about it. Pressure kills. And if you apply enough pressure on anything, it could be steel, it could be a brick. You apply enough pressure, you can break it. And a lot of times there is so much pressure that's within us, we don't allow ourselves to be relieved from that pressure. Grief relieves pressure from our heart, from our mind, from our body. Just imagine the stress level that each and every one of us would have if we don't allow ourselves to exhale. If you continue to inhale, hold things in, without a release, you could destroy yourself. You could kill yourself. Why? Because pressure kills. And a lot of times we see other people who may need to just talk, relieve, with allow other people to talk, relieve, get the pressure off of them or themselves, but we don't allow that to be the same thing for us. We tell other people it's okay to let it go. It's okay to, share whatever's on your heart, get it out so you can be able to get the help. But a lot of times we don't take that same advice to ourselves. We tell other people to share, but we withhold ourselves. We withhold and we end up having high blood pressure, end up having some type of sickness. Why? Because we don't allow ourselves to grieve, or we don't allow ourselves to admit that we hurt. Now, also, I do want to say this. Even for those who may try to encourage people who are grieving, we have to be very mindful of what we say. One of the worst things that we can tell a person that's grieving, especially if you never experienced it, the worst thing you can say is, "Oh, I know how you feel." And I'm going to say this, especially for those who are dealing with the loss of a loved one. A lot of times, there's so many people who mean well, but they say some of the wrong things. They say, "I know how you feel." They may say, "Oh, well, you know, they're at a better place." Now, even though that sounds biblical, but you think about if you telling a 5-year-old child who has just lost their mama or their daddy, you tell that 5-year-old child that they are at a better place. In their mindset, that better place is right there with them. That child does not comprehend about that better place, what you're talking about. So you have to understand, a lot of times the best thing to say is nothing at all. Sometimes it's best not to say anything. Sometimes it's just best to be that listening ear. Sometimes your presence speaks louder than your words. But also, I'm going to say this. Also, even though there may be a person over here who may have lost a child, and on the other side, someone else who may have lost a child, or let's say a parent, even though you may have two different people who lost the same, quote-unquote, relationship of a person, that does not mean that they have the same, quote-unquote, relationship. You know, I found out, like, a neighbor. If a person lost a neighbor, one person lost their neighbor that they've known for a week. Another person lost a neighbor who they've known for 45 years. Even though that person over here might have had that neighbor for 45 years, but they may not have had a close relationship. But on the other hand, this one, they had known their neighbor for just a short amount of time. That person might have been closer to them than the one that was over here that lost their neighbor of 45 years. Why is that? Because of the relationship, the bonding. So in other words, you can't look at the time. You can't even look at the quote-unquote relationship, so to speak, between the two. Well, they were just a neighbor, but this one right here lost their, quote-unquote, lost their sibling or lost their parent. What if they were estranged from their parent, but their neighbor spent 24 hours a day with them, praying for them? So you just never know. So it's not up to us to determine what type of relationship that that person had. The key thing for us to do is to pray for everybody. Be understanding towards everybody and be non-biased. You can't be biased because of a certain relationship. The thing is, hurt hurts. And you're not the one to, quote unquote, judge to determine if they should be hurting or not. Well, you know, that person been dead for 5 years. They ought to been going on with their life. And that's something that's someone that's inconsiderate. That's someone that does not have the love of one another. Like I said, the best thing is just not to say anything at all. There was a story I heard. There was a pastor who lost his son through some type of accident. And one of the ladies of the church went to the pastor and said, "Oh, pastor, I'm so sorry for your son. I'm so sorry for the loss of your son. I know how you feel. You know, when my son went to college, oh, it just broke my heart. I mean, a part of me just left." Now, this is a true story. That lady actually said that. She compared her son going off to college with the loss of the pastor's son. If she had been thinking, her son can come back home from college, but the pastor's son can't. So, like I said, it's best for us not to say anything at all. Sometimes, like I said, we mean well, but sometimes the best thing to do is just let your presence be there. Or sometimes just say, "I'm praying for you." Sometimes just a touch, a hug can speak volumes. Sometimes just allowing that person to be held, allow that person to cry, or even, like I said, just be in that ear. Allow that person to know that you care. That is what matters. So we have to be really, really careful on what we say. And let's be prayerful. Once again, we're talking about grief. We're talking about grief. Excuse me. We're talking about grief, and we're talking about the different things pertaining to grief. Key scripture, Psalm 57:1, it says, "Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy on me, for in you my soul takes refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed." We need relief during grief, and we also need to know that we're cared about and we're still loved. And like I said, grief can come in different forms and in different orders. So we have to allow ourselves to grieve. Working through your grief will involve both your mind and your emotions. Intellectually, you can know that a loss has occurred, but you can still be emotionally or still emotionally refuse to accept how your life will be different because of that loss. The work of accepting the reality of your unwanted loss may consume all of your energy, but your effort will succeed when you have the right focus. Rather than trying to feel what others want you to feel, focus on the Lord God. Pray, "Whatever you want me to feel and whatever you want me to do is my desire. My commitment is to you, and my commitment is to be the person you want me to be through this season of my sorrow." Being able to accept the past, being able to accept that the past will always be the past. We must pray, recall, think back on your loss, then write and finish these sentences. "I remember these significant events and memories." List both the good and the bad. "I look at these photographs and recall," and you list the memories, good or bad. "I am grieving over," and you make a list. Write everything. Psalms 51:6 says, "Surely your desired truth in my inner part, you teach me wisdom in the innermost place." Weep. Allow yourself to have tears. Remember Psalms 30:5, "Weeping may remain for a night, or weeping may endure but a night, but joy will come in the morning." Complete. As you review beside each event of your list, write the words "past," which confirms, "I will be content to leave the past in the past." Memorize. Write down these verses and memorize Psalms 119:28. "My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word." Psalms 119:50. "My comfort in my suffering is this: your promise preserved my life." Psalms 119:107. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your word. In Psalms 119:156. Your compassion is great, O Lord. Preserve my life according to your laws. According to your laws. Give thanks. That's coming from 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18. Thank God for all that he has taught you through the past and how he will use your past in the future. Pray, God, thank you for all that you have taught me through my past pain and how you will use that time of grief in my future. Being able to accept your present. This present offers stability and significance. Choose to live one day at a time. Put the Lord in the center of your life. Go to God with your specific questions or with your specific request. Write a list. Also, thank God for providing everything you need for your life. You can write down 2 Peter 1 and 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who calls us by his own glory and goodness. Praise God that through your situation has changed. He will never leave you, nor will he forsake you. Focus on the joy and the satisfaction of helping others. Know that even this experience, this will also not just encourage you, but it will also encourage others and encourage you as you encourage others. It's something about where a bond happens when you encounter someone who had gone through the same thing you've gone through. And it makes you feel that you're not alone. And it makes you feel that not only you have help on this earth, but also as you go through this process, both of y'all will be victorious. Both of y'all will help encourage each other. Y'all have someone to lean on. Y'all have each other to lean on. Being able to accept your future. The future affords new opportunities. Hope in the plans that God has for your future. Jeremiah 29 and 11 tells us, "For I know the plans I have for you, declareth the Lord. Plans for you to prosper and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in a future." Know that your sorrow and grief will not be wasted. All your hope in God. Have faith in God, whom you cannot see. But know that God will fill the void in your life. Isaiah 43:18-19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Since grief impacts us emotionally, physically, and spiritually, all three of these areas need to be considered when we go through the grieving process. If the following guidelines are not taken to heart, the potential harmful effects of grieving can be minimal and the benefits can be maximum. during your emotional grief, these emotional guidelines have a strong, sensitive support system. Having people around you who really care about you, who generally care about you, is important. People who accept you wherever you are in the grieving process and who would encourage you to share your feelings with them. Even Proverbs 27 and 17 tells us that iron sharpens iron. Have the freedom to cry. Expressing emotional honesty openly and as frequent as needed is very important in order to walk through the grief in a healthy, productive way. Have a plan for socializing regularly. One of the most helpful things that we can do in feeling good about our life and feeling good about life is when we're mourning is to decide to participate in some type of social activity and interacting with others on a regular basis. Having a trusting, honest confidant, or even if you want to think about an accountability partner, being able to be yourself with someone and share your struggles, your honesty, your troubled thoughts, even your mood swings, and then still to be accepted and appreciated. That is healing to the soul. Have your resentment released. If you have an unresolved issues, anger, hostile feelings, regardless or regarding your loss, take the time to list your resentments along with your causes. Write down, or if you want to say journalize, journalizing things can bring to the surface buried emotions. Then release into your hands, or release them into the hands of God, and know that that pain will leave. Know this, Lord, you know the pain I have felt over this situation. I release all the pain into your hands. In the act of my will, I choose to forgive or release that particular person, if you want to write down that name. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for setting me free. The physical guidelines. Imagine a very real death threat on your life. Even when you think about what needs to be done, the first thing for your physical body, get some rest. Since grieving often disturbs regular sleep patterns and disturbs prolonged periods of sleeping, getting sufficient rest during the grieving process is often very challenging, but doing so is very critical, very important to your body. Get a generous amount of water or a generous amount of fluid in your body. Because the sense of thirst is frequently unnoticed during the grieving process, drinking non-alcoholic beverages or caffeine-free liquid is very important. Drinks with no alcohol and no caffeine are needed to carry away your body's toxic waste and to maintain a proper electrolyte balance. Getting a balanced nutritional diet. Eat regular portions of food from each one of the four basic food groups. Eat. Also, getting to regular exercise. Getting a big dose of sunshine. Take a walk in the sunshine along with natural ways to fight depression. Light coming in through the eyes stimulate the brain to send a message to the body to release antidepressant endorphins. Ecclesiastes 11 and 7 tells us light is sweet and is pleasant to eyes to see the sun. And it pleases the eye to see the sun. Also, the spiritual guidelines. Develop a purposeful, meaningful prayer life. The grieving process provides a strong empathy for getting down to business with God. Have candid conversations with Him about your thoughts and feelings. Listen to Him and lean on Him for comfort and reassurance. Develop a yearning for eternity. One of the most helpful and hopeful and helping, one of the most helpful, hopeful, and hidden truths to realize is that this present life is being lived in a temporary body, but a permanent body is waiting for you. In that body, you will live throughout all eternity. Develop a positive, practical perspective. Maintaining a positive mental attitude based on the practical application of spiritual truth during your grieving process will help you to get the victory during the darkest valleys and the deepest loss. Develop a sense of peace about the past. Also, develop a scriptural memorization method. What will also help when we begin to start thanking God and reflecting upon the good times, one of the things that we must do is being able to even, like I said, being able to shed a tear, being able to reflect upon the good times, sometimes thinking about the silly times, sometimes being able to just think and sometimes speak out loud. Think about the happy moments. Not just pertaining to, like I said, a death, but even pertaining to a job. Think about what you learned through that job. Think about the good times. Think about the people. Think about the principles that you learned at that job. And being able to know that even though there might have been a loss of a job, that does not define who you are. Even though there might have been some type of loss, realize that you still valuable and you have a chance to still live again. But also realize being able to let it go. Looking back and verbally reflect on the history you have shared with that, this pertaining to death, with that, those who have gone on. Acknowledge that history and appreciate the good times. Being able to choose to move on, being able to choose to forgive whatever grievance you may still have harboring and let go of any thoughts of revenge. Also, I want to share this. This is for those who may have lost someone. Like I said, regardless if it's a person or a pet, a job, whatever, any type of loss. I would encourage maybe just write a letter as if you're writing it to yourself. And being able to encourage yourself and being able to realize that taking it one day at a time and realize you don't have to think about 20 years from now. You don't have to think about the rest of your life, but think about each moment one day at a time and realize that you can be able to accept that torch, accept that baton, and be able to respect and honor the legacy of either the loss of a loved one, the loss of a job, the loss of a pet, or even, like I said, pertaining to a loss of a relationship, loss of a marriage, whatever. What we want to do right now is those who may be listening, realize that God can comfort you, and we can find comfort in God. We can find comfort because we serve a Savior, Jesus Christ, who understands all about our struggles, all about our pain, all that we have gone through in our loss. Realize that we serve a Savior who understands. And if those who are listening are grieving or had grieved, and maybe they want to examine themselves to see if they're healed from whatever loss that they have experienced, this is the opportunity for each and every one of us to come and pray for each other. We're going to touch and agree that everything that we have experienced that's been some type of loss, some type of hurt, we're going to give everything to God, and we're going to find strength in knowing that we serve a God that will be there to help us from here on out. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, God. Thank you, Lord, for your awesomeness, God. God, we come to you right now, God. We acknowledge your presence on tonight, God. God, we're speaking, God, for those who may have experienced some type of loss, God, some type of grief they may have experienced, God. We're speaking, God, that we know that we can cast all of our cares upon you, God, because you care for us, God. God, we're speaking, God, that you comfort them, God. Be their lifeline right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we're speaking, God, for those who may be burdened down, God, we're speaking, God, that you lift their burdens right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, you said that you will be a father to the fatherless. You will be a mother to the motherless. You will be a friend to the friendless right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we're speaking, God, for those who may be grieving through the loss of a loved one, God. God, we're speaking, God, that you encourage them right now, God. God, we're speaking, God, we did not lose anyone, because when we know that someone is saved, we know where they are, but more importantly, they live with us, God, in our heart. And God, help us, God, to keep their legacy, God. We ask you, Lord, to strengthen us, God, even through this process, God. Help us, God, to be able to lean upon you, God, and trust you, God, no matter what, God. Help us, God, to be able to lean upon you, God, and be able to rely upon you like never before, God, during this process, God. And say about everything you stand for, about every problem, about every confusion right now, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we're speaking, God, that you encourage us, God, that you remove any fear, any type of depression that the devil may try to put forth right now, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for everything you've done, everything you're going to do. And Lord, we thank you for the testimony that's coming from this right now, God. We thank you, Lord, for the fellowship that's coming from this, God. And God, we know what the devil meant for evil. God, you were turning for our good. God, you allow us to have a testimony through this grief right now, God. And we thank you for it right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. I want to thank each and everyone who had tuned in and listened to this program. My name is Brother Prater. Feel free to read my daily devotions or comments on my Facebook, on Google+, and also on YouTube. You're able to view my videos. Also, if you like, you can go to my website at www.brotherprater.org. That's Brother, spelled out Brother, B-R-O-T-H-E-R, Prater, P-R-A-T-E-R.org. You will see the daily devotions and upcoming events and personal appearances. Also, you can go to the store section of my website and you can purchase my book, A Few Good Men, A Path to Godly Fatherhood. A Few Good Men was written to applaud the fathers who are taking care of their responsibilities, to educate and challenge those who are not. Also, it will give the single women a way to identify the qualities of a potential future husband and or father to present or future children. I want to thank each and every one who tuned into this program. And also, as I get ready to close this episode, I would like to pay honor and dedicate this episode to a great friend of mine. He was my coworker. His name is Mr. Charles Benson. He passed away on last Monday, and he left a legacy that many men should be able to look at and be able to want to just be just like him. And I want to say a special acknowledgement to his wife, Miss Chris Benson, a great young lady, and she shared Mr. Benson with us. And I want Miss Benson to know that we love her dearly, and she will always be a part of not just our family, but also a part of our lives. I thank each and every one, and I thank Mr. Benson. Thank you for being that example. Thank you for the teaching you have given me personally, the love that you have demonstrated to me personally. He loved so many of us. And I told him in our last conversation, if I could be half the man that he is, then I would be a great man. And so I'm honored to have known such a great man that, you know, out of the blue, God had blessed me to be in his life. And he was the closest person that I had that was working with me. And so now what we would do, we will honor Mr. Benson tonight. And so I thank each and every one of you all to take the time, who took the time to listen to this program. And also, once again, for those who feel that they may need professional help, feel free. If you like, you're welcome to follow me and contact me on Facebook. And if I can help, by all means, I will try to help to find a licensed Christian physician who may be able to help, counselor. And I thank each and every one of you all. Thank you for listening to Reconnect My Heart radio program. God bless and good night.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes.